Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just lost my audio. Good morning, and thank you for joining us on Three Women, Three Ways. We're the show that tackles the news and the events that are going on and things that are happening in our lives, and we look at it from our different perspectives. Today we have our co-host, Deborah Adams, and we also have a very special guest, Amy Hutton. She's quite a public speaker and quite an asset to us, but first let's introduce ourselves. Deborah, who are you?
Who am I? Who am I today? Do I get to choose today?
Yes.
I get to be somebody new every day, right? So
yeah,
I'm Deborah, and I'm from Southwest Washington State, and I have a tagline. It is, I have lived it, I have studied it, and I have worked it. And that is speaking specifically about domestic violence, but over the years it's branched out to all forms of violence, and the ones that really catch my attention are the violence against women. So currently working in Olympia for a state coalition, and I'm just happy to be here. Heather, introduce yourself.
Well, I'm Heather Stark, and I am here every week with Deborah and our co-host, Pinkley. She's doing something else today, but I come from an academic background as well as experiential one, and right now I'm working on my PhD, my dissertation for my PhD, not going very well, but my focus is psychology, and my focus is also on domestic violence issues and women's empowerment, and that is who we have with us today. We have Amy Hutton, and who's Canadian. We were sharing some stories about parts of Canada today. And Amy is an inspirational speaker. She's a trainer, facilitator, and she is owner of Awakening Goddess Wonder Girls Camp, and she's also written a bestseller. So, Amy, tell us more about yourself and why you've joined us here today.
Hey, ladies, good morning. Thank you so much for that intro. So I'm up here in Calgary, Alberta, and it's a wonderful sunny morning this morning. We think spring is finally here. A bit about me. How can I answer that? What would you like to know?
Well, how did you get interested in this topic, Amy?
Sure. So this topic of violence against women, violence in general, hits really close to home. Violence happens in so many different ways. My family life was amazing. My parents, amazing parents. I love them. Nothing happened at home. What I can say, though, is my violence experience actually started in elementary school when I was severely teased and bullied for 6 years. It was more the physical, the verbal, the put-downs, the being called names, the being told by people in the classroom, other fellow students, that I was dumb, that I was retarded, that I was stupid. I also had some testing done and realized that I have borderline learning disabilities with comprehension, spelling, math, and grammar. So many teachers all the way through school, grade school and into high school, said, you know, Amy, you'll always be that C student. You'll never be that A student.
That's too bad.
So, yeah. So that's pretty, plays a part on your soul as a young girl.
It absolutely does. Is that why you call yourself a phoenix, Amy?
Yes. Yeah. Call myself a phoenix because coming out of the ashes of my own life, I've had some curveballs thrown at me. Actually, we can back up even further. When I was born in 1976 in Ottawa, Ontario, I weighed in at 1 pound, 12 ounces. And the doctors looked at my parents then and said, she's not going to live 24 hours. We need to baptize her now. So even from day one, I've been a phoenix and choosing to live and choosing to rise. And then into elementary school, being severely teased and bullied for 6 years. And then the teachers were amazing. They were supportive. I loved my teachers. a lot of them, two of them in particular from elementary school, were just so helpful and supportive. However, they always would say, you know, you have problems, you have learning problems, and you'll always have learning problems. And that carried through into university when I experienced dating violence firsthand. I'm a survivor to thriver of a dating abuse that was mostly emotional, controlling, and mental. And we can get into the different kinds of violence later, but that's my story. And I've risen above it, started my own businesses of Awakening Goddess, which is for women, and that's to inspire radiant play and confidence through dance, because through my growing up years, I danced classical ballet for 11 years. And other things took over in high school, band and being in athletics and such, and then as an adult, I did some burlesque dancing. So I've taken, very minor things from the burlesque dancing that I learned, intertwined them with personal growth work that I've done for 6 years, and now work on the whole body of clients, the ladies I've worked with, and to help them step into their power, to step into their spotlight on the dance floor. A thing I like to say is, do you want to be the person in the audience watching that beautiful ballet happen up on stage, or do you want to be that ballerina, be that dancer in your own spotlight of life? Where do you want to play? So that's Awakening Goddess. And then Wonder Girls Camp came about last summer, and it's for our next generation of girls, to empower them, to inspire them to be brave, bold, and themselves.
More about camp, but first let me give out our phone number. If you'd like to join us, we would love for you to do so. Phone number 646-378-0430. That's 646-378-0430. Please give us a call. We'd love to have you join our conversation. The camp sounds wonderful, Amy. What kind of activities do you do there?
Oh, thank you. The camp is different kinds of activities. I can be coming into a school and doing like blast sessions, like one-time workshops, or it can be an after-school type program where the teachers and the principal have me come in and work with a set of girls for 8 weeks. And then the third thing I have is moms, daughters can have me come and do a birthday party. And for, say, 2 hours, we do movement. We do vision boards. We do making a Wonder Girl shield. And so it's mixing, intertwining some movement to get them moving and creative, creating their ideas through movement, and also to have the girls, and it's girls between grades 4 and grade 9, it can be split into just grade 4s or just grade 9s or just grade 6s, whatever, it's up to the people who are asking, and it's to help them feel really good about themselves. I did a camp, an after-school program camp, before Christmas last year, and it was an 8-week program, and I had one of the mothers and fathers, the parents, come to me on week 3 of week 8 and say, Amy, what did you do to our daughter? She's different. Their goal was for her to come out of her shell more and be more interactive and be more vocal at home and at school, but a bit more at home. And I guess transitions and changes had already happened, and it was only week 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome, Amy. Good job.
Thanks.
So what are some of the comments from the kids in the program? What do they like about it?
My one girl that I had in the program, she said that it was so much fun. She thinks everybody will love this camp. She was in grade 6. And one of the things I did, too, with her is on week 1, I took a picture of her with my little camera, you know, snap-and-shoot camera that I have. And then towards the end of the 8 weeks, I had a fellow businesswoman friend of mine who is a professional family photographer. I had her come in and actually do a mini photo shoot and then we chose a picture and made it into a 5x7 and we gifted it to her family.
Oh,
and the family thought it was a beautiful thing to keep. And she loved it. I also was a speaker at a Mommy and Me event a couple of weeks ago here in Calgary, and the girls, they just lit up. Like, they had so much fun. I could see the transformation throughout the day. I was the first presenter in the morning, had them moving and talking and sharing, and then towards the end of the day when they were doing their, with a different person, they were doing some vision boards, and some of the girls who were very shy at, say, 9 o'clock in the morning, by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they were saying to this other facilitator, can I share my vision board? So it was really beautiful to see, yeah, to see the transition and the progression of that.
Well, I have two daughters and two sons that witnessed the abusive marriage that I was in for 17 years. And so that has sparked my interest in, you know, how can we empower and educate our young people, our children, so that they don't follow suit, because my experience has been that my kids always do what I do, not what I say.
Mm-hmm.
So,
hey, that's unique.
Yeah.
How unusual.
So I think it's really important for kids to have another safe adult in their life as well, that they can talk to and express things without fear of hurting their parents' feelings, or, you know, getting in trouble for expressing themselves. So it sounds to me that that's kind of some of the things that you might be doing in your Wonder Girl camp.
It is. And on that note, too, you mentioned something about questions and stuff. I've actually started, it's been going for actually almost 2 months now. It's a question and answer that young girls have sent me questions about life, about bullying, about actually even one even came in about dating violence. And I answer them through a video blog every week. Once a week I take one, yes, once a week I take a question and I just say, example, this week's question comes from Sally, and Sally is in grade 5, and her question is this.
Mm-hmm.
And I answer the question from my heart. I give suggestions on how to possibly get through the situation, my ideas, and it's just speaking from my heart. I'm not a registered therapist. I'm not a registered psychiatrist or psychologist. I'm just speaking from personal experience. And
mm-hmm.
my thoughts from my heart on how things can be better and get better for them. And
yeah,
the reaction has been wonderful. And some of the one of the questions, example, the one that came in about dating abuse just like broke my heart. She was in grade 7 or 8, and I was like, mm-hmm. wow, this stuff needs to be talked about.
Yeah, yeah.
It's interesting you mentioned dating abuse, because I don't work exclusively with kids, but I come across a lot of young people. And I am amazed at how many young girls, and I go back to that Rihanna, Chris Brown situation, because it was so notorious. I'm amazed at how many girls would say to me, well, she started it. Or, well, what did she expect? She hit him first. Or, you know, if you remember that situation, that Rihanna was beaten. I mean, she was just absolutely beaten. And mm-hmm. it astounded me that there were so many young people. I was speaking at a high school that week, and I was just absolutely astounded at how many young girls didn't see a huge problem with that. They basically
yeah.
blamed the victim and just dismissed it.
Yeah, I'm not amazed by that. Reaction, because that's part of what I do with my own personal business, is I'm working to change our social and cultural norms. And so our girls, as well as our boys, are taught these things, and they hear that in their home and in their school and in their circle of influence. So it doesn't surprise me that they're mimicking what the general public says. I mean, I find it disheartening and I find it sad, and that's why I'm kind of drawn to, you know, hearing and learning more about Wonder Girl Camp. And I think that that's really the way we need to go, is to empower our young people to speak and ask questions without fear of at home. And that's, home is not always the safest place, is it, for our children?
No, unfortunately
no.
Well,
so,
Amy, tell us also about your being an ambassador for your other organization.
I would love to. So, yes, my title, if you will, is that I'm the Canadian Teen Ambassador for the Freedom and Empowerment Campaign. I'm just going to let you know the mission statement, if that's okay, of the Freedom and Empowerment Campaign. I'm just reading it off our amazing website. It says that the mission statement is that we will support victims of domestic abuse and help them live independent lives within a secure apartment block. This can be a place that they can call home, and they will receive life coaching within this environment. This will enable victims to get back on their feet and rebuild their lives and give them back what has been taken so they can rebuild. We want to also reduce future numbers of this epidemic through education and teaching the younger generations about loving relationships. We will do this through public speaking at schools and create youth workshops around the world. We feel that by educating the younger generation, lives will be saved in future years to come. The Freedom and Empowerment Team are spread across all the world. The campaign goal is to really become part of the education system and the world and speak in schools and colleges to educate and empower and to be a system that educates and the beginnings of life and be a system that can help support those who have experienced abuse. Although we know that it's completely impossible to stop domestic violence, we can help reduce the numbers and help reduce the numbers of those living in fear. Kate Gardner, who started this campaign, only started it a year ago. She started in July 2012. Yes. So it's still a very new campaign. The reason why Kate started the campaign is because she herself is a survivor to thriver of domestic abuse, to the point where when she had her situation, she was going through it, and the stress of it caused her to have a stroke. And while she was healing from the abuse, from the stroke, her own daughter, when her daughter was roughly 14, was raped. So that's where the wake-up call came from Kate to say, oh, wait a second, our teens need our help too. So that's why the teen campaign has come alongside the full Freedom and Empowerment campaign. And yes, we're global, we're across continents and countries. We're in United States and Canada, England, Australia, and part of Europe as well. So it's a pretty amazing campaign. And it's just, we're getting going. So it's lots of fun.
That's great. Do you have any thoughts of helping the United States get started?
Oh, the United States has two ambassadors already. They have.
Oh, really?
Yes, Dawn Marie is the American ambassador, and then we also have a teen ambassador. Her name is Sister Monitha James Brightful, and she is in the United States. And so we're all over the place. We have two teen ambassadors, and our co-founder of the teen campaign is Kate's daughter herself. So we're all working together on getting going, and so it's pretty exciting. So we have our German ambassador, her name's Malika. We have our UK ambassador is Callista. There's my fellow Canadian ambassador across the mountains over in British Columbia is Callie. And then, as I said, our American ambassador is Dawn Marie. And then, of course, leading the whole team of us is our beautiful founder, Kate, as well.
That's very
tremendous.
Nice.
What a network. What are your goals for the future? What do you see the organization doing down the road?
Oh, we would love, right now we're in the fundraising process to actually be considered a not-for-profit in every country that we have an ambassador. So here in Canada, in the United States, and in Germany, and everywhere else where we are. So, it's just fundraising bit by bit to get the message out there, and that's one of our goals right now.
Well, I think that's awesome, and one of the ways that that's understood that to do prevention the best is that education piece. And I think it's really helpful if we talk to our listeners out there. Maybe you could go through some of the warning signs of these types of violence that would help young girls and even young boys.
Oh, for sure. Great. Because as you right, violence doesn't discriminate. It happens to men, women, boys, girls. Doesn't, you know, sexual orientation, your ethnicity, your status financially in the world, like it does not discriminate. So I would love to share some stuff with you guys and your listeners. One of the things is that your partner will be overly and excessively jealous. So I'm just speaking from my personal experience when I was in my abusive relationship in university that my boyfriend, he didn't like it when I, example, was watching Top Gun, when Top Gun came out in the theater, in the movie video. Myself and a few others were sitting watching the movie, and there was the scene, the classic scene of Tom Cruise and the other guys in the show taking off their T-shirts and playing beach volleyball on the screen. And I, myself and the other girls in the room were like, oh, wow, that's awesome. Like, Tom Cruise looks so amazing, and Val Kilmer and all those other guys, right? Well, my boyfriend got jealous. He didn't like the fact that I was watching these male actors.
Oh, boy.
And commenting on them. And I was like, oh, well, you know what? You can make comments all you want about, you know, the ladies on the show. Like, it, you know, it didn't make anything to me. So that's one. The other one is possessiveness, that he's very controlling, wants to know what you're doing. He'd also, my boyfriend specifically, didn't like the fact that we were out at the pub one night in university dancing, and I invited him to come join me on the dance floor, and he wouldn't. He actually, using sign language at a distance, because he was on the second floor and I was on the first floor on the dance floor, that he demanded that I come to see him. Come to him right now. And I got over to him, and he's like, I don't like watching the other boys watching you dance, or I don't like the other boys watching you dance. And he said to me, you know, I can't dance, and I don't like the other people watching you. And the third one is that there's some explosive anger, like the mood swings can happen on a dime. There was one time where my boyfriend and I were sitting talking about something, and a third person came into the room and invited us to go to a part of campus to do some studying or to hang out, get out of our dorms. And my boyfriend didn't know where exactly he was talking about, so myself and this other friend were trying to explain. Well, what my boyfriend did was he had a lanyard around his neck of keys, and he whipped them off his head and threw them at my friend. At his head.
Oh, my
God. And my friend happened to be very agile on his feet and was able to, A, dodge, B, catch these keys whipping at his head at the same time. And he grabbed them, and he looked at me, and he looked at my boyfriend and looked back at me and said, don't throw things at people. Don't throw things ever. And he left the room.
Well, and, that was nice.
yeah.
Could have been a worse response, right?
Yeah, so what my boyfriend did then was, is another kind of thing, a warning sign or something like that. He stood up, and he actually went over to a stack of CDs that I had over by my stereo, and I had all classical CDs because it was exam time and studying. So, and the one on top was actually one that I created in high school. Being in the band, as I said earlier, we created a CD, and it's all classical music or music with no words, and so I was using that to study. Well, he took the CD, looked at it, and then placed it at the bottom of the pile, and he said, I don't want to hear about anything from high school because I wasn't there with you.
Oh, my, yeah, bad. Well, Amy, those are good warning signs, and as I mentioned, I have two daughters and two sons that we lived with their father, the abuser, for 17 years, so they had an overdose of exposure to violent behavior. But my eldest daughter had one specific boyfriend in high school, and he tried to put a wedge between her and I, and it seemed like he was always making her choose between him and her family. And so would you think that's a good warning sign as well in relationships?
Oh, especially for sure. That's actually part of the forms of violence is the isolation.
Yeah.
Like my boyfriend, there was one time we went to the field house or the athletic building, and I was teaching him how to swim because, A, he was afraid of water, and I grew up in the pool and was a swim instructor and lifeguard and all that kind of stuff. So I thought, sure, I can teach you how to swim, no problem. We got back to the dorms after, and at that point, things were starting to click in my head, and I'm like, things weren't seeming to be right. So I was reaching out to a couple other older girls on campus, and one of them said, you know what, Amy, we'll come once you're done at the pool, we'll come and pick you up and we'll go somewhere and just talk. So what happened was we got back to the dorm, and I said to my boyfriend, I'm like, look, I'm expecting a phone call from, a family member, and you don't need to be in the room when we're having this phone call, so I'll see you after. And he didn't like that too much.
Mm-hmm.
So when my friends, the two of them, showed up to my dorm, they said, how are you feeling? And I said, actually, I'm scared. And they looked at me and said, don't be scared. We're here. Let's go. So we got out of my bedroom, and then to get to where we had to go, we actually had to walk past his bedroom. And I couldn't do it, or it took a lot of guts for me to do it. And I got past it eventually, and he burst out of his bedroom and said, where are you going? The girls kind of scooped me up by the arm and said, keep walking. And we kept walking to the pub and sat, and I was still afraid because I thought he was going to follow me. And
sure.
The one girl said, she goes, Amy, don't worry. She's picked up her keys. She goes, I have my car keys. We have permission to go out the back door of the pub. If he comes in, we can leave. So, yeah, that's kind of the warning signs about the isolation and the fear and him wanting to know what you're doing all the time and where you're going and that sort of respect. There was another time where I got up in the morning with a phone call from a friend saying, Amy, come off campus. We want your help with something. I said, sure, fine. So they picked me up, and we went away, and I came back at, say, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And my boyfriend was worried sick to the point he was calling the police. He had called local hospitals to know if I was there because he thought I was dead in a ditch because he didn't see me go to bed the night before.
Well, that's part of my children's story, too, is their father was extremely controlling that way and would say if I came back from running an errand, probably that he forced me to go do, would say, what took you so long? And then he would say, I was about ready to call the police because you were gone so long. And that's very common manipulating behavior to make you feel like you're in the wrong, and it's so...
Yeah,
it's hard to understand and not see that in the context of caring for you, and sometimes we even can convince ourselves that it is caring for us when someone says those kinds of words, but it really is about the control and the manipulating behavior and all those sorts of things that maybe teens or young people don't have the development yet to kind of make that analysis.
Yeah, lots of girls, I remember, and I wish I could know the exact show. However, I know I was watching Oprah, and Oprah was interviewing Diane Sawyer or some other women in the television realm, and she was interviewing teen girls and their moms separately. And the teen girls said, oh, yeah, my boyfriend, he's hit me. And he just loves me because he tells me he loves me and he apologizes afterwards.
Right.
Well, the moms heard this and they were completely gobsmacked. They were like, what is going on? And they didn't realize that this is actually happening to their daughter. The daughter hid it so well that the family didn't know. Because, the statistic is 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 6 boys will experience violence in their lifetime.
Yeah, and that's a pretty high number. I feel it's a high number. Most medical conditions that raise to the level of national and global awarenesses are instigated at a much lower rate of participation, I guess, for lack of a better word. But those are pretty high rates of people. So Do you think it really stems from what they learn at home, or do you have other opinions about how our teens are learning this?
Well, I think it comes from a wide variety of different things. Because growing up in my home was a safe place. My home was a friendly, happy, loving place. And I just went through different experiences that happened outside the home. So teaching and educating comes from a wide variety of places. Yes, it comes from the home. It also comes from the teachers or the youth group leaders. And it would also, my thought process, my opinion, it'd be awesome if the media would do even better with exploitation of sexual violence or violence in general. It's all encompassing. Like, it's not, we can't just blame the media. We can't just blame the family or the schools. It's all encompassing, and it's a wide topic.
Yeah, it is. Definitely, it is a big topic. And I know that empowerment is one of my favorite strategies for preventing violence of all types. And that comes with knowing yourself better, in my opinion, and getting the education about these different topics so that you can make an informed choice rather than it just, I'm going to go along with it for, you know, a choice. And I think that was one of the problems for me. I, too, did not have a troubled or upbringing was pretty great. And but I still ended up with an abuser as a husband for 17 years. So, but I think I went along. I just agreed with, I felt like, you know, hindsight looking back, like I just didn't raise my own opinion and just blindly followed because I thought that was the social and cultural norm and what was expected of me.
Oh, for sure. I can relate to that totally because I had a couple of friends that were like a year older than me. So when they went away to university, that's where my one good friend, we're still friends today, actually. We were actually best friends growing up, and we've stayed in contact ever since. She was in university, and that's where she met a boy and started dating, and they're actually now married and have a beautiful young daughter. So that's what I thought was supposed to happen, that I go to university, and I meet a boy and have a boyfriend, and, you know, we're going to be living, like, you know, date and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, not that it's any fault of our parents, but, you know, I was really never taught how to argue well, and my parents didn't really argue. My dad was a silent type, so he would not argue, so I didn't really have any experience with that, you know, and I can't say that's a bad thing or their fault. So, I mean, it's just you have to be able to get information from other sources. And we need to teach our kids to be critical thinkers a lot sooner than college age.
Yeah, I remember.
But surely we three aren't the first ones to think of that. And so why are we seeing so many kids, especially young girls, who seem to accept this as the status quo?
Because
part
it's easier.
It's easier, and it's going along with everybody, and some of the things on the radio or on TV or in movies, that's partially part of what they see or what they hear. Like example 17 and Vogue and all those magazines have advertisements for different things to wear or have or be, or, and they're all looking a certain way. They're all having lipstick or makeup, and they all look beautiful. There's an organization here called Dove in Canada, and they created a few years ago now a video. And the video was a split screen, and it was showing, had a girl who was a model up on, like, say, a big billboard of just her face. And then it backtracked, and it showed people actually how she got there. And she came in and had the photo shoot. She had her makeup, her hair done. And then they showed literally that they're altering the picture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's all about being beautiful, and I think it's even real beautiful might even be the tagline with it, that a lot of the models, a lot of the magazines that you see, the pictures, they've been touched up. And a lot of young girls don't realize that.
Well, no, they don't know that. And I think that's a total disservice that our media is portraying human beings as this sort of, I don't know, almost as a statue, you know, with no expression, no character in our faces or what you'd have. But frankly, I feel like I've earned my wrinkles.
Yes, my scars are beautiful.
That's right. My scars are beautiful. And they're mine. And I don't care if anybody else likes them or not. But that wisdom didn't come to me till I was probably 40.
Yeah.
Well, I think
time to undo
is a great awakening.
Yeah.
I think 40 is a great awakening for a lot of women.
It is.
And that's good.
And I don't know if you've reached that yet or not, Amy, but
I'm a few years shy of that.
Yeah, and maybe you've already had that. That's not to say it can't happen earlier, and I hope it does happen earlier, and I certainly would hope for my daughters that it would happen earlier. I think it's a shame for so much time to have gone by in my life where I didn't appreciate what I had when I was 20. You know, and then when I was 40, I was like, well, this is me. This is what I look like, and I'm going to start appreciating it.
Yeah. Well, that's part of what Awakening Goddess is getting the women I work with to feel beautiful now, to love their parts, love themselves now where they are in this journey. And then I've just transitioned it down into Wonder Girls Camp programs that the teens, our young girls, grades 4 to 9, they really need to be reminded that, you know what, it's okay to wear braces, it's okay to have glasses, it's okay to have freckles, that everything they have right now at their young age is beautiful and they need to celebrate it. Like, one other thing I say is, you can only be the best you, so celebrate it.
Ah, that's nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you did say in your bio that you were an author of a book, and would you want to tell us a little bit about that?
For sure. I am a co-author in the international best-selling book from Amazon on April 8th. It was called Success in High Heels, Your 30-Day Feast to Success. This book was written by myself and 29 other women in business from around the world for women in business. And it's compiled by a lovely lady by the name of Christine Marmory from England. And it was her baby, her brainchild, on giving success tips in story form to other women in business. So my chapter is called Do I Dare More? And it's a lesson in the chapter about stretching and about daring to be seen and daring to do things maybe a little bit different, and doing things you've never thought you could do before. And the really cool thing about the book is, at the back of every chapter, each woman in the book has given homework, lesson, tips for the reader to do. So,
nice.
Yeah, so that's why it's called 30 Days to, like, a Feast to Your Success, because if you read the book and you do read every chapter and you do every piece of homework, it's a 30-day process. A 30-day
nice.
Event, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I've read some other books along those lines, and I think those are great tools for people, because it kind of takes you on a continuum, right, from groundwork to the end of the process. But it also helps those of us who don't have the energy to create that step-by-step process for ourselves. Maybe we're too busy doing other parts of our lives, but to have a kind of a guide to use or a template to follow has really been helpful to me at different points in my life. What do you think, Heather?
I think so. I think that I don't know about you guys, but I think in my journey of trying to understand abuse, first thing you do is go look for references. You go look for a book that will help you understand what's going on. Because until you understand it, you're probably not going to do anything about it.
Right.
You just think it's you think it's, you know, the atmosphere, you think it's something other than than what it is. And so the first thing you do is go look for those books. And I think to have a book like that is amazing. I think that if I'd had something like that, it would have been night and day, because there are so many things in so many of the books that don't apply to you. And it sounds like your book is all about you. So I think that sounds amazing. And you say it's available on Amazon?
It's available on Amazon.com. And, it's a beautiful book. And also
give
the website.
Give us the title again.
It's Success in High Heels, Your 30-Day Feast to Success. The book has its own website, so if you just type in successinhighheels.com, you can go there and learn all about the book, the myself and the other authors. You can read testimonials. And a lot of the ladies in the book also created little YouTube videos to help explain. Yeah. So if you go to successinhighheels.com, you'll get a whole bunch of different little tidbits and awesome things. And with that book, I can be invited by others to come and speak at different women's groups, organizations, for business or other events that I can speak of. I can share my wisdom of having success in high heels. I actually am coming to, in July, I'm coming to Ohio to speak for eWomen Network, Cincinnati, Ohio, and we'll be speaking about success in high heels, and we'll be doing a couple of activities and stuff like that, too, during their luncheon that they're having, and it's on July 2nd.
Oh, wonderful.
Hi.
Wonderful.
Well, I hope, Joy, you've been to the United States before, Amy?
I've been to Dallas. I've been to, when I was younger, because in high school, as I said, I was in band and competitions and stuff. So we actually went to Boston, New York, and Chicago for different band competitions. So I'm familiar with that. And, yeah, so it'll be my first time coming to Ohio. So I'm looking forward to my little trip that I have coming. So.
Well, Heather's your girl. She spent a lot of time in Ohio, too, didn't she, Heather?
Yeah, I was born and raised there, not in Cincinnati. I was born up near the lake. So, you know, you should be more familiar with the lake areas, I would think, Amy, being from Ontario originally. And that's where I was born and raised. And I think you will find it, Cincinnati's kind of urban, but it's also still country, you know. It's still a place where you can feel like you're, you know, with normal people and regular people and not city folks. And I tend to be nervous about city folks.
And yet you live near Seattle.
Yes, I know. I spent most of my life here, and yet, you know, I'm still a country girl at heart. I'm still an Ohio girl at heart. So you will like it, I think.
Thank you.
Amy, one of the things that I would like to ask you is, as a parent, what can you do in working with your daughter or your son to help them with the empowerment of young women?
As a parent, take time to connect with your child. Take time to have a non-computer day. Or a non-technological day. Put down the iPad, put down the computer, close the phone, and just really connect with your daughter and your son. And because all children want to be heard and seen. And again, Oprah was interviewing a beautiful author, and this author said, "Do your eyes light up when your child enters the room? Because that's what your child's looking for. Your child's looking for, do you see me? Do you hear me? Do you love me? And do I matter to you?"
Don't we all look for that?
Yeah, but to hear it in words, that's a very good pointer, I think, that because as parents, we talked a little bit about being a mother and how much work it was last week. So I think that we do get caught up in our daily routine and kind of forget to go back to that original joy and the joy I had when each of my children was born, you know. Yeah, I can appreciate that being, you know, when people light up when I come in a room, I know how good it makes me feel. And I do have eight grandchildren, that do bless me with that feeling.
How nice. How nice for you.
It is.
I think that, you know, as I remember back to when I was a young mother, and it's like, you know, you worry so much about, you know, health and safety and, you know, are the outlets all covered and, you know, is this cough mean anything? Do I need to take them to the doctor? And you worried so much about that kind of stuff that I think we forget sometimes about those basics of, you know, what's really going to help my child to be successful in life and what's really going to help my child to have the confidence to go through life safely and happily. And I think sometimes as parents, we mistake confidence as, you know, being able to get a trophy for every time you join a little league or something and not receiving correction about something. That's not confidence. That's a false confidence, I think. So, you know, I really advocate for parents to just pay attention to their children. Forget about, you know, every activity under the sun. If they want to learn how to bowl, they'll do it when they're adults if they have to. They don't have to learn everything right now. And, and so, you know, that's kind of where I'm at as an adult and as a former, I guess you're never a former parent, as a parent of young kids. That's how I felt. It was like, yeah, you know, the trend is for you to join everything and have an activity every night of the week. But is that really going to help you be a good person?
I had this mistaken idea that when my kids, because I had 4 kids in 5 years, so they're very, very close. And when they reach that teenage high school time, they're not going to need me as much, and I'll have time to do things for me or something that I want to do. But I found that not to be true, that my teenagers actually still wanted me to be physically present at any thing they did at high school. And so I remember being a little bit surprised by that, but as I look back now, I still did try to do as much as you can do when you're a single working mother. But, you know, I think that that's really an important thing to think about, too. I mean, I thought they would be, and they were self-sufficient, but they still wanted that somebody's in the audience cheering me on kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
And I think that's so important for our kids. And you know, I think that one of the things that I felt when I was raising my small children is it's all well and good to have them become a doctor, lawyer, candlestick maker, but first they have to be good people. And if you're in danger, I don't see how you can be a good person. Because you're terrified. You're basing your judgments and you're basing your activities out of that fear. So I think the most important thing that a parent could teach your child is to be a good person, and that means a person who's free of fear and abuse as well.
For sure. Can I touch on something briefly?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Speaking on that fact of fear and not feeling worthy and stuff, I've been invited to go to Uganda and Kenya actually now. To speak and work with young girls and women who've been through different horrific violence and domestic abuse. And so it's a pretty, I feel very grateful for this experience to go to do this because the girls in Uganda, they don't feel that they're worthy of the same rights as the boys in their own community. I had a Skype call with a person from Uganda. And he said to me, he said, yeah, Amy, our girls don't think they're beautiful. They don't think they're deserving of the same rights as the boys in our community. They think they're second-class citizens.
Trip, Amy, do you have a crowdsourcing page?
Yeah, I do. It's with GoFundMe.com. The whole link is www.GoFundMe.com/Amy, A-I-M-E, Inspire Uganda Girls. And
Thanks.
it's raising funds to help me get there. And also, when I am there, I will be teaching my Wonder Girls Camp Teacher Training Certification to the people of Uganda.
That's really great.
So they can, yes, thank you, so they can continue and work with their girls after I'm gone. And, yeah, so it's pretty amazing. So people can donate. There's different, there's rewards at every level that the people who donate, they can, example, donate $50 and they will receive a copy autographed by me of Success in High Heels.
Nice. Well, so will you post that on our Facebook page for our listeners and our followers so that they can donate to your campaign if they wish to?
I can. And let's see if this will work. I can pop it into the chat window if it'll go. There it goes.
Okay,
well.
Great.
So there it is for you to use, and I will, yes, find you guys on Facebook again and share away. So, yeah, it'll be good. Thank you so
good.
Much.
Awesome.
For having me have a moment to speak about that.
Yeah. Amy, do you get into, when you're working with girls, do you get into the whole issue of, well, clearly you're getting into self-esteem issues, but I think sometimes it's hard for young women to separate between being a nice person, and let's face it, we do tend to raise our girls to be nice, and so sometimes when you're making choices with friendships or things are starting to happen that are tingling your radar, it's hard to distinguish between being reasonable and protecting yourself and being that nice person that society and your parents and everybody has told you you need to be.
Mm-hmm. So my suggestion on that would be to the young people who are listening is, to take a breath and speak your truth. I was at a conference last summer in Dallas, and the amazing Ken Cragen, who developed Hands Across America and We Are the World, was one of the speakers. And he spoke about get caught telling the truth.
Mm. I like that.
Yeah, it's as simple as that, is get caught telling the truth. And yes, some people may not want to hear your truth, may not like what you're going to say, may feel hurt, may feel angry. However, it's you standing in your own power, standing on in that spotlight on the dance floor. And
yeah, I think there's
really
kind of a perverted idea of what nice is. Nice doesn't mean that you can't speak your truth.
Right.
And I think we've kind of lost that the real meaning of the word nice in that respect. Well, do you think that might be true?
That might be true, because some people think that to be nice, that they have to go along with everything, that they have to be, example, the wallflower and
right.
watch life go by. And I was that way many, many, many years. Only recently moving out here to Calgary from Ontario around in 2007, when I was doing my own personal growth work, my own personal healing, that I realized that, oh, I do have a voice, that I do matter in the world, and that my voice needs to be heard.
And that sharing your voice or taking care of yourself is not necessarily not taking care of others. It's not necessarily, as you said, Deborah, not being nice.
Yeah, it's not the same thing. They're two different things and shouldn't be in, like, a conflict of each other.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, what recommendations, Amy, do you have for parents who perhaps see some warning signs in their daughter that they might be experiencing an abusive relationship?
Let them know that they're not alone. Just say, take them out for a walk in the park or go for tea or go for lunch or something, and just sort of start asking some questions. If they want to come straight out and say, I think that if they want to be very blunt about it, they can. However, if they know their daughter a little bit, maybe they need to warm them up to the idea of talking about the situation and ask them about their relationship. And that's what my mom did with me. We went out for lunch in between first year and second year university, and my mom, we were talking about my university life, and mom just kind of came out and said to me a little bit after our conversation started, she goes, Amy, I'm worried about you. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how that started, was, oh, maybe this isn't the right relationship for me. Maybe this is, something's wrong. Maybe something needs to happen. And I stopped the relationship in the summer and went back to school. And with my luck, my boyfriend actually stalked me for the rest of my school year, my rest of my schooling in university. So that was a whole other kettle of fish.
Yeah.
But the idea to the parents is just talk to your daughter, make her feel safe and secure, and just start talking with her. Again, put down the cell phone, turn it off, turn it on like silent, and really connect with your daughter, and let them know that they're not alone, and that's my suggestion.
Great. Sounds great. Of course, some of those teenagers are not going to necessarily talk with mom
exactly.
or dad. And That's obviously the reason that your organization was started. But also I think it's important for parents to recognize that sometimes there needs to be somebody else, that you can't mm-hmm. necessarily be everything to your child, and to make other people, relatives or good friends, available to your children as
for sure.
a resource. So
I know here in Canada we have the Kids Help Phone that mm-hmm. children can call. That's also sort of why I started the Wonder Girls Camp video blog, is question and answer, is to take those questions and to give resources and to give ideas on how to get through it, and also let them know that they're not alone, that I myself have walked in their shoes and been there, done that.
Yeah. And do you see, I would hope it's different now, but I know when I was young, it was so important to have a boyfriend. Oh, gosh, everybody had to have a boyfriend, and if you had a boyfriend, even if he was not such a great boyfriend, you wanted to hang on to him because that was a reflection of you and your success as a girl at getting, you know, getting the guy. Do young girls still feel that way? Is that still something that parents and advisors have to deal with young girls? Or
I believe so. I believe that still stereotypically that, oh, boyfriend, you know, girl must have boyfriend or must have someone in their life. So I think it's still there. I know with what I do with Wonder Girls Camp, it's you can have a boyfriend if you want. You don't have to have one. Granted, the girls I'm working with are in grade 6 and 4 and 5 and whatnot. So my hope is that they haven't hit that stage yet, that they're still just being girls and having fun and being a kid. It does shift a little bit as they get older. It's just where it shifts into is you just have to like yourself and be fine with who you are and love yourself and like yourself, and then just hang around with friends who like you and want to support you, and if something develops from there, then that's awesome. My thought process, my opinion is don't go out looking for your boyfriend, especially like in the high school age level, in university. It's just, it will happen naturally as it happens. I've been in a couple of relationships, and right now I'm single and I'm 36. And I'm fine with being single. And if the right guy comes along, then that's cool. But I'm not, oh my gosh, I need a boyfriend right now. I'm fine with who I am, and if it happens, it happens.
Amy, this has been such a great conversation for us, and I really appreciate your being here. We usually end our show with a quote from Deborah, mm-hmm. and Deborah was able to find a quote from teenagers. Didn't you, Deborah, want to tell us about that?
Yes, I actually found a page. It's called motivateus.com. It's motivation for teens submitted by teens. So these are the words of our kind of like target group of the topic today. So submitted by Crystal, age 14, Indiana, Washington, United States, says, winning is winning, losing is learning. And I thought, that's very wise for a 14-year-old.
No kidding.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
No kidding. Well, thank you for joining us today. I've learned a lot, and I hope you have too. And we appreciate your being here, and we will be here next week, same time, because we are...
Three women.
Three ways.
Three
divas.
So thank you for joining us, Amy, and everybody have a great week. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
You too.